Good morning, Northwest. It's another glorious day in the Lord that he has blessed us and allowed us to come into his presence to give him glory, honor, and praise. And I am so grateful for him for looking beyond my faults, supplying my needs, and allowing me once again to come and glorify him today. Amen. I just have to say, what a great time of worship. The songs were just uplifting. They were a blessing this morning. And I just thank God for all those who give God praise and take time to share with their gifts to us in glorifying the Lord. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I feel that everything, including the kitchen sink, has been thrown at me. I feel that I've been under attack. And some of you today may be under attack. You may be under attack in your finances. You may be going through some attack on your jobs. You may even be dealing with some personal and family issues or marriage issues. And you just feel that the weight of the world has been placed upon your shoulders. I don't know about you, but I feel that way sometimes. Amen. But I'm glad to know that even in those times of struggle, those times and situations that we face that are hard, that are difficult to handle, I am so glad to know that I have someone who has my back. And it's because of him that I'm able to live, move, and have my being. There's a song that brings me great joy and gives me great encouragement from time to time. And the verses go like this. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. Yes, God will take care of you. Savilla D. Martin penned these words. She did it on a late Sunday afternoon in her home in Lincolnshire, New York. She had gotten ill early that Sunday morning and was confined to her sickbed. Her husband was a prominent pastor and preacher, and that Sunday he was scheduled to go to a nearby town and deliver the message. But he was concerned about leaving his wife, who had taken ill suddenly, and he really didn't want to leave her alone. But as he gathered his things and began to leave, his young son, who was going to travel with him, looked up and said, "Daddy, don't you think God would take care of Mommy while we're away?" And that brought great encouragement to me, because there are times in all of our lives that we face situations that seem too hard to handle. Times when we feel God is nowhere to be found. I mean, there are times when you just feel like you're all alone. But I'm glad today to know that we have a God and that we serve a God that's there even when we don't realize it. I mean, there is God, and we have God in times when we just sometimes, y'all, have to trust him when we can't trace him. And so the text scripture today is dealing with a man by the name of Elisha, who was faced with an unexpected and dangerous situation. But he realized and he knew that God had his back. So let me share with you just a portion of his story. The text actually begins with verse 8, but I'll be reading verses 15 through 17. And it says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share a word from you. But now, God, I ask that you increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, that you may speak through me, that the people hear you and not me, and that the words that I speak will be deliverance, will be strengthening, and will be encouraging to them, that all will be done to the glorification of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. During the time of the text, King Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king, the king of Syria, was making surprise attacks on Israel. And it seemed like each time he planned an attack, every attack was blocked. Now, understand, it wasn't because he didn't have a great army, he didn't have a well-thought-out strategy. It wasn't because he didn't have well-trained officers. And of course, he had a great army of soldiers to back him. But it was because the mighty hand of God was upon the man of God, his prophet, Elijah. See, what happened is that each time the king made a plan, Elijah would tell Israel's king. See, back in verse 8, King Ben-Hadad had plotted an assassination attempt on the king of Israel. And Elijah warned the king. So every time the king had some kind of strategy, some kind of plan that he was going to put forth, Elijah, the Lord, would give him insight and information. And Elijah would go tell the king of Israel. And the king of Israel would know which way to go or which way not to go. So the Bible says that on one of those attempts, the king of Syria, his plans were blocked again, and he became so enraged, so upset, so angry that he called an emergency meeting. I mean, he called all his officers in. He said, look ahead. I want to know which one of you guys is tipping off Israel. See, I know there's got to be a traitor in my camp. And understanding the severity of the matter, these officers understood that if that were true, they faced death. But one of the officers stood up and he said, King, ain't nothing like that, man. Nobody in here is a traitor. We're not double crossers. See, what I'm going to tell you, see, is what's happening is that it's not us, but it's this guy named Elijah. See, he's the prophet of Israel, and every time you try to do something, he goes back and tells the king. Now, man, I don't even know how he does it, but it seems like he knows everything you've been talking about in your bedroom, man. So, I mean, it's him. He's the culprit. So the king of Syria says, I tell you what we're going to do. I want you to go out and find where he is, and I want you to capture him. As a matter of fact, tell me where he is so I can go there. And so they go out, they send a search party, and they find Elijah in Dothan. And that's about 12 miles north of Syria. Now, Dothan is a familiar place because when you read back in the time of Joseph, especially during the time that Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers, he found his brothers in Dothan. That's where they were pasturing their sheep. And so that's the same place where Joseph was thrown in the pit and then subsequently sold to the caravan of Egyptians. But it's also a place that's found between the boundaries of the Manasseh and the Issachar tribe. So it's a familiar place in biblical history that this takes place. So As the king finds out that Elijah's in Dothan, he sets another plan. But this time, his attack is on Elijah. But what he failed to realize, y'all, was that Elijah was a faithful servant. See, he was faithful to Elijah, his mentor, and he was faithful to God. And so when we're faithful to God and when we're faithful to those who we serve, God is faithful to us. But still, it doesn't mean that attacks won't happen. It doesn't mean the enemy still won't come against us. There's one thing my pastor in Detroit used to say. He said, when the devil is on your trail, that means that you have gotten closer to God. Because he's not going to mess with you if you're not close to God, because you're not on God's territory. So when you start facing trials and tribulations in your life, and when you start going through various attacks that come your way, just know that God has gotten close to you and you have gotten close to him, and there is a blessing on the way. See, there's devil don't fight you until there's something coming your way. He's going to fight hard when God gets ready to move you or to bring something to you. So when you start facing attacks, y'all, just remember that God is about to do something radical in your life. But what I love about this story, church, is that Elijah offers a spiritual example, and he guides us and shows us how we need to handle things in times when the odds seem against us, and when even when danger and defeat seem imminent. So you may wonder in the scripture, how, after you read and hear the story, how was Elijah able to remain calm in this situation? See, out of all that was going on, Elijah didn't get panicky. He didn't run scared. But Elijah had a relationship. See, he understood in order for him to recognize the magnitude of God's resources and how God was able and would be able to fight against the enemy and how he could experience God's deliverance, he needed two things. And we also need these two things. First, he needed insight. See, insight helps us to discern the true nature of a situation. Have you ever been so scared that things become obscured? I mean, I like watching scary movies. And so it's always amazing to me that when a person gets in a situation and they start running, instead of running from the danger, they run right into it. And I'm like, yeah, but you could have turned left and went that way, but he's coming down that road and you decide to go that way? I don't understand that. But that's how our vision gets obscured when we get scared. Because our insight has been dimmed, has been messed up. So he needed insight to be able to actually view clearly what the situation was. But he also needed illumination, because that would give him the spiritual sight that he could see through the eyes of faith. 2 Corinthians reminds us in chapter 5 and 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. So the difference between Elijah's servant and him was they both saw, but one saw through the eyes of faith and the other saw through the eyes of fear. Now, I can understand Elijah's servant. I can't be too mad at him, because we all get that way. I'm sure when he got up that morning, he figured it was going to be business as usual. You know, he thought he would do his normal chores. I don't know what they may have been. It could have been just helping Elijah throughout the day. But when he got up that morning, he was unaware that he was surrounded by the enemy. He forgot that he was not just in a physical warfare, but he was in a spiritual warfare. So he had taken his mind and he wasn't even concerned for what the spiritual battle would be and that what he would face that would be around him, which made him unprepared for what he was going to face. See, as Christians, sometimes we act just like him. We sometimes act as though Satan's forces are fast asleep and that they really don't pose a threat to us. So we go out unprepared. We're not ready for spiritual battle until we actually come face to face with the enemy. And then, like Elijah's servant, y'all, we cry out in fear. But let me remind you of what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and this is the best part, y'all, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, God gives us a battle plan. When we find ourselves under attack, we have to be girded and we have to be covered in his armor. The other day, and my wife, she didn't know I was going to put her in this, so I love you, honey. but she did. She's a great inspiration to me. She has great faith. And sometimes she puts me to shame because she has such faith. And she and I had an opportunity to go see this film on Friday. And I encourage anyone who has not seen it, go see it. It will be a great blessing to you. It's called War Room. And we sat there and we were just inspired. We were blessed. We cried. We almost shouted on some scenes because it was so dynamic spiritually to us. But there's a part of the film that stuck out for both of us. And my wife took action on it. So yesterday I had to go out and do some errands, and I came back to find our bedroom in disarray. She had pulled out everything. She just took out everything in her closet. And I looked at her and said, what are you doing? And she says, I'm cleaning out my closet. And I said, well, I can see that. And so she went on to tell me that she had decided to change the closet into her prayer room. So as she worked on it and she reconstructed some things and put some things in and took some things out, she turned it into her private prayer room. And what stood out for me was that she was girding herself, y'all, for battle. Because it's in the prayer room. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. It's through prayer and relationship with Christ that we can fight against our attacker. So she encouraged me to find another closet and make my own prayer room. So now all the other rooms are all messed up now. Because we're trying to get girded and ready for battle. And I encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, make certain that you cover yourself in the Lord. See, Elijah understood that he could fight against this army because he was assured, because he had the presence of God. See, Elijah, unlike his servant, wasn't looking at the physical because he understood he had more with him than what he saw with the